This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Talking about the Nationals firing both Mike Rizzo, their GM, and Davey Martinez, the manager. Of course, they won a World Series in 2019, but since then, the Nationals have had the second worst record in all of Major League Baseball. This year, there are only two teams worse than them. So they're let go. Is it the right move? And is it the right time? They've got a draft coming up in a week. They have the number one pick. So now it's their assistant GM who takes over. Let's go back to the phones.
All right, Let's go to Don in Ashburn. Don, what's up, man? You're all with the Junkies.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How are you, buddy?
I think right move, right time, because I think that probably, you know, letting Rizzo go, especially at this time, is probably an indictment on him in terms of talent, that they probably didn't want him making the selections. I don't know that I necessarily agree with Rizzo so much being let go, but you got to spread it out amongst all of it, the ownership with being the bulk of the problem and not willing to spend the money. But, you know, Davey's win percentage is not fantastic. Rizzo, I think he's been there, 16 years. We've got, you know, one appearance in the World Series and the win. We grinded that thing out, right? I think outside of the four-game sweep of the Cardinals, it was a grind to get that World Series.
That's not a negative.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, that's what you got to do. Good teams do those things, and that's what they did. But when you look at that caller that was talking about Dusty Baker, one World Series in that guy's whole coaching career, to say he would have won one or should have won that was crazy. But no, right move, right time. I feel bad for Riz because I do think he was handcuffed quite a bit. But I do think we need a fresh start, and it might.
I would just say this
before they pick.
I wouldn't feel bad for Riz. I would consider it Mike Rizzo Liberation Day. He can relax. He could sleep in a little bit. He could take a deep breath. He could take his lovely wife.
The blood pressure level goes down.
And his child out for a nice vacation. And he could pick his next spot. Maybe not as the general manager, but I'm sure he could pick wherever he wants to work.
He said he hadn't had a summer vacation his whole life.
Well, he's going to go vacation a little bit and live life a little, I think.
He should pound some surf sides today. But I'll say this. The line for Rizzo will be pretty long. I don't know that many people are going to be going after Davey.
Davey will find a job.
He'll find a job, but he won't.
He's a lifelong baseball guy.
He might not be a manager, but he'll find a job in a dugout somewhere.
In 2 seconds, if
Absolutely.
He wanted one. Yeah. All right, thank you. Thanks, thank you, Don. But I think also Davey's going to probably go back to his farm and ride around on his tractor and figure out what he wants to do.
Sure.
You know, most guys don't, you know, have the privilege of being in one spot as long as both those guys were. They both had great runs. Let's go to Murray in McLean. Murray, what's up, man? You're all with the Junks.
Hey, how you guys doing? I've been listening to a lot of stuff, and no one's mentioned, like, the two biggest mistakes that I think have been made. And one is re-signing Strasburg, and I don't know whether that's Rizzo or management.
That's hindsight, though. Don't you think that's hindsight?
Well, yeah, everything is hindsight. Everything you're talking about.
I mean, at the time, did you have a problem with it? Didn't you think he deserved it?
Because you didn't know he was going to get hurt.
Well, no, he had been hurt multiple times over the years. So go look at the baseball
record. Right, but he had just come off, I think, his healthiest season.
I know, but he was MVP.
He just came off his healthiest season.
The guy was MVP of the World Series.
Right. It was arguably his best year. He pitched, what, 200 and a couple innings, you know, and so, yeah.
So you would have let him go? You would have let him go, Murray?
I would not have signed him for $35 million a year for 7 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, look.
That would have meant you probably would have let him go.
It turned out to be a horrible contract, no doubt. You're right on that.
Right.
And but coming off a World Series the way he performed, they were kind of in a pickle.
And I also think give credit to the learners because it did show a commitment. So for all the bashing of the learners, it did show a commitment at the time.
That's right.
All right, what was the other thing?
It did show. The other one is not signing Harper. Those I don't know if those two mistakes are learners or Hart or Rizzo, but everyone knew at the time that Harper wanted to set the record, and the record at the time was $325 million, and we offered him $300 million.
Well, they also wanted to defer 50% of the contract.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's
on the owners.
That's all the Masson contract stuff. But, because the Masson contract hamstrung them the whole time. But I just think, you know, why didn't you offer them the extra $26 million or something, just more than that record?
They were way further apart than that. They were way further apart than $20 million because of the deferred money and the way it all
eventually
played out.
He eventually got $330, so he got 10% more.
Yeah.
That's one of the big mistakes. Also no one's talking about how the Masson contract hamstrung them money wise.
There's no doubt.
Nope.
I mean, think about the Dodgers, of course, it's unfair to compare, but they're the only ones I know the number of. But they get like over $200 million a year from their television contract. And the Nationals getting 35. Now that's a ridiculous difference. So I just feel there wasn't enough money to go around for all these players. And you can say, oh, well, you know, the ownership should have put up their own money.
Murray, here's a question. Was this the right move? If you're part of the ownership group, is this the right move today?
I think the team needed a shakeup, but I don't know if it's Davey's fault or Rizzo's fault. And I understand the new general manager is going to want to hire their own manager. So I don't like it, but it makes sense.
All right. Thank you, Murray. Appreciate it. Thank you, buddy. Let's go to Mark in Rockville. Mark, what's up, man? You're all with the Junkies.
Hey, fellas.
What's
Curiously
up?
Enough, I'm walking right by HQ here, Wooten Parkway and Tower Oaks Boulevard. I'm not shocked. I just curious about the timing, both of them right now. And I just have a thought. Maybe this is all housekeeping, house cleaning, balance sheet, you know, buffing to maybe they have a deal or getting this thing ready to go at the end of the season. Maybe they have somebody and this is their side of their, you know, the buyer's due diligence, you know.
Could be.
It's possible.
110 losses, you know, get yourself in position for one pick and we're giving you a clean
clean
management team.
Yep.
Yeah. Possible.
It's possible. No doubt.
Possible. I'm
There's
sure.
no evidence, though, that that's happening.
I mean, it's pure speculation.
Yeah.
Pure speculation. But, you know, throw it out there in the realm of possibilities.
Again, a couple years ago, they supposedly wanted to sell. But since then, they supposedly changed their mind.
Well, because they didn't get their number.
Well,
If they
got the number, I guarantee they would have sold.
They probably will sell.
I mean, if they wanted $2.3 billion and their best offers were 1.7, 1.8, all right, well, you can understand why they wouldn't sell. If they get another offer like that in the offseason, they might.
All right, let's go.
I'm not convinced that the entire ownership group is 100% against selling. Not convinced of that for any second.
I don't think the entire ownership group is in sync on anything.
Yeah, I think the majority of the owners probably do want to sell, but they want the right number.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Mark in Largo. Mark, what's up?
Hey, guys. You know, I got two different, reasons why it's a good move and not a good move. But here's the reason why I think if Rizzo would have fired Davey last month, Rizzo would still be here. That's why I think Rizzo got fired. He didn't fire Davey.
It's possible. I don't know. It's like possible.
I think Rizzo would still be here and all that. Now, here's the reason why I think they are going to sell. If you look at what's going on in sports with all these teams getting out and how much they're getting money for, and then you think about, granted, the Commanders getting $6 billion a year and a half ago for their team, it would not shock me if you're looking around to all the other franchises in sports. Now, granted, Washington is not in L.A., but it's in a major market. You can get about $3 billion for this team, $3 or $4 billion.
You're dreaming. I mean, maybe, but so far that has not been proven.
They're not getting $4 billion for this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's pure speculation.
Maybe three, maybe.
They couldn't even get two a year ago.
Well, that could be true too. But I do think there's no way the Learners are going to keep this team because they're just going to be dartboard victims for the rest of the year and really throughout the offseason, unless you get someone who has done it before, who could build this team from the ground up. But no one's going to be – I mean, no. The fan base is totally turned against them. This reminds me of 30 years ago when Juwan Howard left. When you guys started your radio show, in July, when Juwan Howard left, the whole town turned against the Bullets. This is what I feel the ownership – what the fan base is doing to the ownership right now. They have to sell this team. They
all right.
To.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you, buddy.
Let's go. I mean, it could happen. Nobody expected Snyder to sell. Mm-hmm. He sold.
Well,
this with a huge party.
This will be less surprising because they've been on the market before. I don't think anybody could be shocked.
But the league's not forcing him to sell. Like,
no.
In the case of Snyder, yes, the fans
shocker.
Wanted it, but the league was also driving it.
Correct. But if the Learners sell, nobody on the planet will be surprised. Like, literally zero people.
I don't think anybody on the planet will be upset.
I might agree with that, too. Yeah.
Nats fans will not be upset.
You'll be hard-pressed to find a Learner fan group right now.
Yes, correct.
It'd be a party of zero. Let's go to Mike in Centerville. Mike, what's up?
Yeah, well, I won't be disappointed either.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, Jason almost had it nailed a little while ago. The old man died. Mark took over. All the kids say, okay, well, we're going to start things going on. Then they go, let's sell. They can't get what they wanted. You know why they haven't named the stadium yet? Because they're going to sell it. There's something going on, I guarantee it. Look.
Possible.
Let's just say you got $2 billion. And let's say there's 30 of us. You know how much you would get? $66 million apiece. Jason, would you take that?
I'm not sure what the percentage is in terms of all the family members. I think Mark.
I know.
I think Mark gets more than that. I think he gets more than that.
Mm-hmm. I know. I was just putting that out there.
No, I would not take that. Of course not.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. It is an interesting point. There are so many people involved. I thought it was interesting. You know, I didn't realize the ownership group involved, you know, the CEO and this other guy. They're not family members. And then Ted Lerner's grandkids are somehow involved. I mean, there's so many people involved. His kids, his grandkids, other people that are involved in the ownership group. I mean, it's almost impossible to keep track.
There's a lot of them.
And you can imagine being Mike Rizzo
but
trying
Mark
to navigate
is the,
that.
Mark is the main dog.
I think so.
Yeah, he's the main dog.
But clearly, I think Mike had to deal with a lot of those guys.
I'm sure he did.
Beyond just Mark. So again, it's an end of an era. But I do think it's on some level, it's a Mike Rizzo liberation day. And maybe Davey, for that matter, too.
Yeah, but can you imagine how hard it is to come to work for those guys when they're 17 games under 500.
And I think that's why.
And they're giving up 27 runs in a three-game series against Boston.
And then especially when you know ownership group is really not giving you the gunpowder to go out there and improve the team the way you need to. I think that's part of the reason why he wouldn't fire Davey, because he knew Davey was hamstrung on some level. He didn't give Davey enough guys. So how are you going to fire him if you have any integrity?
I mean, it's one thing to just kind of rely on the kids that you drafted and obviously in the Soto deal. And look, they hit a grand slam in the Soto deal. Right? They got two all-stars. Abrams was an all-star last year. They got three all-stars basically out of that.
He may still be an all-star this year.
But you got to couple that with signing a couple of big-time guys just in case those young stars are taking a couple extra years to get ready. And they haven't done that.
Well, you need it also. Yeah, they just don't have enough depth.
And the Nate Lowe and the Josh Bells of the world, that's not going to put you over the top.
No, that's treading water. That's treading water at best. Let's go to Campbell in D.C. Campbell, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Good morning, boys. It's okay for both of them to be gone. Like, Davey's been horrible. I'm a season plan holder, so I'm there for all of this madness. Mm-hmm. Yesterday's lineup, you leading off with Call, and you got CJ sitting on the bench. So he should have been gone years ago. Y'all keep forgetting, the Learners have a track record. Big coach, bad coach next year. Big coach, bad coach. I mean, or big name coach, little name coach next time. As far as Mike did what he could, but he got to the point, like you were just saying, Lurch, he's picking up scrap heap hitters off the pile. Nobody's scared of Josh Bell. Nobody's scared of Lowe. Even Rosario, they all need to go. And it goes back to the Learners. Even if they do sell the team, let's say one of you had the money to buy the team, mm-hmm. you're surrounded by Learner property. So every time you look up at your stadium, oh, there's money that I'm giving the Learners because their apartment complex is right there. So the Learners can cry broke all they want. They're another ownership group that won't spend money. As again, I coach in the city as well, baseball. We play championship games at the academy. They don't spend money in the academy. They don't invest in the city. All three of them can go. I'm cool with it. Thank you again, boys.
Thank you, buddy. Right. Thank you, Campbell. Appreciate it, pal. Thank you. Yeah, I can't speak to that, whether they spend money on the academy or not. I wouldn't doubt that they don't. They clearly were in cost-cutting mode. No question about it. I don't know.
And yesterday with the lineup, I mean, I assume they just gave Abrams the day off. He ended up pinch hitting. Yeah. But even if Abrams played and he was leading off instead of Call, I mean, they weren't winning that game. I'm sorry, they just weren't. The pitcher gave up four runs in the first. And they're going against one of the best pitchers in baseball. You're not going to pound Garrett Crochet.
Look, the way the season played out, it's entirely understandable. This was almost inevitable. You had hoped that they would pull out of it and be able to get going again, but it just didn't happen. So in many ways, it's inevitable, and it was something that had to happen.
We'll talk to Chelsea Janes from the Washington Post about what's next for the Nationals coming up at 8 o'clock. And Barry's Verluga, who exchanged some texts with Mike Rizzo from the Washington Post, he'll join us at 9 here on the Junk.
Welcome back. B. Mitch and Finley, Toby Altizer in for JP this week alongside Brian Mitchell, reacting to the news that Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez both fired. Joining us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
To give his thoughts on it, the regular host of B-Mitch and Finley, JP Finley. JP, what's up, dude?
Who?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
What's up, Jupu?
B-Mitch was saying that you're actually here this week because we went to break late.
Yeah, we broke at 11:45, though.
I don't know what happened to JP's
JP, phone. Your phone is like sounding like you got a burner.
You got me now?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Go well, park.
I mean,
go park somewhere good, and then we're gonna wait for you.
Car is parked. I'm parked. I don't know why you guys can't hear me.
We got you now.
All right, go now.
Is this just terrible connection? I'm just at the beach.
Every single time you go to say something, I'm assuming you're going to start waiting. It just goes quiet. There you go. He dropped off. We'll see if we can get him back on here in just a second. I know he's been a Rizzo guy, and I think if you're trying to defend either one of these guys, I think you can defend Mike Rizzo. I'm not necessarily going to do that today. I fully understand that there are issues that Mike Rizzo has had. I don't know that there's any frustration about Davey, because I think we all understood where he's at. Let's see. I think we've got JP back here. JP, I know you've been a Rizzo defender, and understandably so. He's been great throughout his tenure here. What was your thoughts on them ultimately firing yesterday, Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez?
The Davey thing is certainly not a surprise. I mean, they're playing bad baseball, and they're playing bad baseball. They're in last place in the NL East. They're behind the Marlins. I mean, get swept by the Red Sox, including just a drubbing on July 4th. That's kind of a showcase game.
Mm-hmm.
The Davey thing I can understand. And I want the world to know they should hire Kevin Long at the end of the season, the Phillies pitching hitting coach. The Rizzo thing to me is very different on a number of levels. One, I mean, the draft is in a week. It's like the timing of it is incredibly bizarre. I can kind of understand it if they're maybe clearing the decks to sell this thing. I don't know that they are. I feel like Rizzo deserves better than being fired in the middle of the season at mid-July. I do hear the detractors. Like, I understand the growing chorus of their inability to draft and develop over the last, you know, 6-7 years. That is real. I also think he's been operating with one hand tied behind his back because ownership is so bad. Like, I get the fans are frustrated. I think Mike Rizzo's great at what he does, and he'll go somewhere else and win another title. And I just think if people wanted a pound of flesh, I get it with Davey, but like, you fire Rizzo and then his number two takes over a week before the draft, and you think that's better? I can't wrap my brain around that.
Yeah, I agree with you on the timing, but I think you have to look at one thing, too. Like, I know Rizzo has done some damn good things in other accents, but the fact that for 20 years, the bullpen has not been good. I woke up this morning. This is the thing that had been weighing heavy on me. I thought the way that things happened and they went quickly, they went to him to try to get him to let David go, and he wouldn't let David go. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
And I think both of y'all going to go there.
Right. I think whether they went to Davey a couple weeks ago to try to fire one of his coaches and he wouldn't do it, and then this weekend they went to Mike to try to fire Davey and he wouldn't do it, none of that will surprise me. If I had to guess, the Post will have some in-depth everything that happened story in the next couple days, and we'll get to learn exactly how this all shook out. I mean, that's generally what the Post does. It's kind of like this posthumous look at all the details, and I look forward to reading that. I don't know if you guys – I'm sure you guys discussed it. Sverluga had a quote last night from Rizzo, like, I'm paraphrasing, but the sun will come up tomorrow. I'm very proud of everything I did navigating this ownership group. And that's pretty telling to me. And, like, I know the Ken Rosenthal piece was out. I know you can just look at the minors and look at the missed draft picks. And if I ever have to be told that Carter Kieboom is the future again, you know what I mean? I get all that. It doesn't add up to me when, I mean, the ownership group now with the patriarch, with you know, father Lerner gone, I know Mark's running it, but there's probably a lot of cooks in that kitchen, cash-strapped organization. I find it, and Toby, you're way deeper on this than I am, right? But, like, I get the drafting and development hasn't been great, but I find it when we did our blame pie on this a couple weeks ago after the, 11-game losing streak, I'm still at like 75% ownership, and maybe 100%. Fans are just mad and they want some result, and you can't fire the owners, unfortunately, as we learned for 25 years with Dan Snyder. Like,
you're
stuck with them.
The thing for me, JP, and the reason that I don't mind making this move, maybe the timing is weird, but I don't mind making the move overall, is it at least opens the option that you could make some changes. Now, I don't necessarily believe that they're going to make the changes is my issue, because if you're going to continue to spend like a small market team, I like Mike Rizzo as a big market general manager. We saw him win a World Series as a big market general manager when this team operated like one. But this team hasn't operated like one since. And so if they decide to go out and spend on R&D and go get an analytical mind at general manager and all those things, you at least open the door for that. I just don't have faith that this ownership group, now that they've moved on from Rizzo and Davey, is suddenly going to make the right decisions and bring in the right general manager and change their philosophy. So, you know, that's where, to your side, like, are you going to do better than Rizzo? Possibly not. And if that's the case, then we might look back on this and say, okay, they made a move, but it was just to make a move for making a move's sake.
Yeah, or Rizzo finally said, bleep you. And they were like, oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I know Mike a little bit. I imagine he gets pushed to a point where he's like, you know what? Bleep this. I got better options. I got a text last night. I didn't feel like tweeting this out last night, but I got a text from a friend of mine that works in baseball, and I'm not going to say names here, but I'm going to read this text to you guys. The Lerners are embarrassing, man. Mike is amazing and did a great job. Got all these prospects back because these clowns wouldn't spend money. James Wood is a star that he fleeced. And then I just replied totally, and the reply was, you know how incompetent you have to be to fire the GM the week of the draft? Imagine if this was football, or imagine if this was the old days of the burgundy and gold, how ballistic people would be going.
Yep.
And the baseball draft is like 80 rounds or something, and you just fired the boss.
See, yeah. the thing that got me is, I look at the relationship between the actual manager and the players, like coach and player.
Yeah.
You haven't named that person yet. Which I think is a little screwed up.
Maybe they didn't have a plan, and these guys were finally just – I mean, dude, it wasn't that long ago that Jim Riggleman just quit because he wouldn't deal with these owners. Remember that? Jim Riggleman ended up taking shots at Cash.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all over the internet. Like, I don't know. People in my mentions telling me how dumb I am that Rizzo has been bad over the last decade. And there are certainly – like maneuvers, even the guys, they spent a little bit this offseason, not a lot. They spent less than what Juan Soto makes in a year, but they spent a little, and the product's been terrible. I mean, to your point, The bullpen's been bad forever. Mm-hmm. The Kyle Finnegan thing this offseason was incredibly bizarre. Like, there's a lot of wacky stuff going on. I think it starts at the owner's level. And I think if Rizzo could get the Orioles job, it would be tremendous. Like the Orioles need somebody that will press the gas with all these young prospects, and Riz is a press the gas guy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's going to have good options. I'm sure, if I had to guess, he's going to go down to his place in Florida and chill out for a while. But I can wrap my head around Davey. Toby, correct me if I'm wrong. Davey only has the one winning season in his tenure, right? They just happened to win the World Series.
I agree with you about the timing. I agree with you those things. But I say this. When you are at the position that Rizzo is at, you get blamed for overseeing everything. Or you get the your job is to oversee everything, and when things aren't fixed over the years, that blame goes in your lap. And I think that's part of the problem, where we were talking a little bit earlier about complacency, and I believe they got a little complacent, you know, over there. And I think that is what came back, because when you have people working for you that you see, the guy won the World Series, which makes me look good, I'm going to, you know, push forward. Just that kind of makes things a little off for me. Say it like that.
Well, MB, I think you see it. I mean, in the coaches I've covered in Ashburn, I mean, Shanahan, Gruden, Rivera, I think those guys came in with a mindset of like, all right, I can handle ownership. I can manage up. I can win here. And then after a series of things going wrong, sometimes whether they'll ever publicly admit it or not, they're like, man, I can't win. And maybe the same effort or the same mindset. You know what I mean? Like, that stuff seeps into your organization.
Yep,
sure. And, well, I tell you what, JP. Real quick, Lamphill's giving me the look he usually gives you. So we got a break.
I told you, JB was still at work.
We got a break, man. Enjoy your vacation, man.
Enjoy, brother.
All right, boys. See you guys.
Appreciate it, JP. All right, we're going to take a break from the Nationals. Want to talk a little bit about the Wizards. Chris Miller going to join us to talk about the Wiz next.
Our poll of the day is up on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. It's also the question we're asking you on the phones right now at 800-636-1067. Did the Nationals make the right decision by firing Mike Rizzo with Davey Martinez yesterday after the team was swept by Boston and fell to 37-53? The Metropolitan and Moving Storage poll of the day: local, long distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. Danny?
No. Because here's what I wonder. What is the metric? What are you being judged against? Who, you and I know, if our ratings are bad for an extended period of time, we'll lose the gig. A salesperson knows you don't meet your sales quota for X number of quarters, you lose the gig. A riveter, your rivets fall out or they don't work for X number of times, you lose the gig. What was the standard? What are we being judged against? What were the criteria? And without any kind of plugged-in plan, without any kind of plan at all from this ownership group, from an intractable, glacially paced group of folks that kind of can't figure out which way is up on anything, I don't know what standard they were holding Mike Rizzo to for a long enough time. Doesn't mean he gets a job for life because of the success. They haven't been successful in a long time. But he's trying to go into the budget DVD bin, find a good movie, and you're mad at him for not finding a good movie when he can only spend a dollar. You know what I'm saying? If he gets to go to the good DVD bin and he comes home with Shawshank Redemption, great job. When you see he can only spend a buck and it's Colin Poche, I know you're limited. Doesn't mean he's done everything right, but I always wonder what the standard is. So for me, after the season, with a longer plan in place, you get a search firm involved, you start figuring out what you don't know, and engaged ownership, I could get behind it. This is not an engaged ownership group. And that's kind of the pivotal point here for me, is you don't get to come off your perch for the first time in months and be interested for an hour and a half and fire the architect the week before the draft. That, to me, isn't the right decision.
So you mentioned earlier this is really complicated and there's a lot of layers to it. And I think for me, that's because there's multiple conversations to have at the same time. The first is really the only one I care about. And I think that's where I differ from a lot of the people that will be calling in today, which is to say that this is all about ownership, in my opinion. That the lack of spending at the major league roster has caught up to them. And whatever that looks like in terms of spending on things that involve development and drafting and in every other organization of the team, I think is extremely problematic. So I don't care if Andrew Friedman of the Dodgers walked through that door. I don't think you're getting championship-level production in baseball when you're not engaged, you're not involved, and financially you're not committed. So that, to me, is the beginning, the end of any conversation, full stop, put a period at the end of the sentence. Now, if you want to just suspend that and say, okay, we get it, you think this is about ownership and that's where we need to focus, like we did with Dan Snyder for many, many years, we still talked about football. So if you want me to just have now a different conversation and set that to the side, which is that everything else is getting evaluated and graded on curves because this is an unacceptable kind of ridiculous state of the union here, I can also do that. And that's where I would tell you that while I think the ledger for Mike Rizzo over his duration was way more positive than it was negative, and that I would say he'll be remembered as a gigantic success here because they won a World Series, and that 2012 to 2020-ish time frame was marvelous where they were one of the best teams in Major League Baseball pre-pandemic. Post-pandemic, it has been really bad. And in a results business, it is very reasonable that you're out of a job when you're in charge of the draft and the draft results look like they have. Mm-hmm. And when you're in charge of developing players and the development of players looks as unsuccessful as it has been for as long as it has been that way. So this was, for me, about timing when I say I wouldn't have done it. The week of the draft, the month of the deadline, but also in season. I would have had no problem, frankly, if they would have moved on and gone in a different direction this offseason that passed. Mm-hmm. This coming offseason, I think I'm in a place now where I would have started fresh. Manager would have been long gone because I would have fired Davey during the Rocky series. And in Rizzo's case, rather than re-upping at $4 million and keeping him around, I would have probably gone maybe younger and more data-driven or something like that if things didn't turn around in the second half of the season because the results would be speaking for themselves. That having been said, I think that this happening yesterday, for me, is what I have a hard time getting behind. But I don't think anything that took place is crazy. You know, it all makes sense when you look at how bad it's been for as long as it's been bad. What's funny is they're not that far away. And that's where I go back to, if only they'd spent a little bit of money. And the last thing I'll say is this. Whereas Rizzo, the quote he used with Barry Svrluga in the Post, which I loved, was, I navigated that ownership group for 20 years, which is so telling, right?
Tells the story.
But whereas he did a really good job with his front office for a long time, especially at trades, masking the deficiencies of their own foibles in the draft and in development or what have you, also making $10 go a long way, that's what this job's going to be. We're operating in this town now like it's small market baseball. You need someone who can be a small market executive. You're only getting 50 bucks when the big boys get 1,000. You need to make your 50 bucks go a long way. They couldn't have had a worse offseason, in my opinion, with the money they were given. Now, the offseason problem to me is still ownership. They didn't spend enough. Mm-hmm. You can't sit here and tell me with a straight face that this team should be a playoff team when their highest paid player is Nathaniel Lowe and their second highest paid player is Mike Soroka. You don't get to have that be the case and be a playoff team. Those two things can't be true. They weren't supposed to be good, by the way. 70.5 wins was their projected win total in Las Vegas. 70 wins.
Yep.
They're on pace for 67 after the last horrendous 6 weeks. Only the Marlins, Rockies, and White Sox, according to oddsmakers, should have been worse than this Nats team that was built this year. They didn't build it that way because Mike Rizzo hates spending money or doesn't like good players. They built it that way because those are the resources they were given. That having been said, again, complicated. There's more conversations to have always. If I only give you $6 million to get a good DH, you're not going to get a good DH. But you got to get someone who helps you more than Josh Bell did. No, that didn't work. I only give you $8 million to spend on your bullpen. Well, that doesn't go as far as it needs to. I need $20 million. I'm giving you $8. Well, I need to spend that $8 million not on Colin Poche, Lucas Sims, and Jorge Lopez, who are all gone in the first month of the year. And to me, that's where this thing went off the rails. In the past, I made the money go a little further. And for the first time, they really had a very, very bad offseason, in my opinion, with the little bit of money that they were given. And that's part of why yesterday happened.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I mean, to me, I keep going back to what is the standard, right? If we just discovered what the standard is yesterday, that this isn't good enough, oh, man, I got a big mirror for you to look into, well, to the ownership group.
I mean, ownership. Did they expect this team to be pretty good, do you think? And did Davey and Mike saying in the spring and all season, and I think Mike was just saying what he has to as an executive. It's Mike Shanahan saying he'll stake his reputation on John Beck. But, like, did they pay for the fact that they said to everyone who would ask, this is our year to turn the corner. This is our year to get over 500. This is our year to compete. I can't imagine they really believed that. I just think that they're smart enough as baseball guys to know that when Nathaniel Lowe and Mike Soroka at $19 million combined are your two high-paid, big-ticket items, you're probably not going to win 84 or 86 games. But do you think they paid the price, whereas maybe they were saying that to ownership?
That's what I wonder.
Last year, you're 37-53. You told me you were going to be over 500.
Yeah, the worst thing you can do is fall short of expectations. So when the Wizards tell you, we're rebuilding, people can make a joke or two here and there, but nobody's furious. I mean, a couple people are mad, but everyone else who understands being an adult gets that they're rebuilding. You don't get mad at them for losing 65 games. When you tell us you're going to be good and it's going to be better than it was and it's worse, people get pissed. So that pissed off, I think, finally got up to the ownership suite, right? Of where fans are furious, and it finally got enough of them rattled the cage enough times where they go, hey, we should probably do something too.
Jeff Passan of ESPN broke the news yesterday. He's on the show in 20 minutes. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in? Let's go to Dan, who's in Connecticut. Dan, did they make the right decisions yesterday?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Appreciate you.
Absolutely. I've been saying this for years. I think that the game has passed Rizzo by. If you look at the last decade or so, a lot of guys in their 30s and 40s, you know, the MIT, WizKid, Sabermetrics, people were promoted. Like Rizzo, he's 64. He's kind of got the older, you know, scout vibe to him. And so that's my first point. And my second point would be, Danny, your question of what is the standard? The standard is draft well. And last 10 years has been abysmal. I mean, they did a good job with Harper, Strasburg, Rendon. Those were consensus top five, you know, number one overall guys. But we're talking Mason Denebarg and Jackson Rutledge and Elijah Green, these guys that are like quote-unquote tools. You know, he's tall, he throws hard, or this guy has great power and, you know, lots of speed, but guess what? He doesn't know what the strike zone is. I'm talking about Green, who's, you know, number one in the minors in strikeouts. So I'm curious as to your
well, so that's that. Your standard. Yeah. And it's a good one, by the way. It's mine, too. You cannot have a run of Eric Fetty, Carter Kieboom, Seth Romero, Mason Denebarg, Jackson Rutledge, and you mentioned some of the other names. You can't. That's your standard. Ownership standard, I don't know what it is. That's my point.
They've extended Rizzo multiple times during and after that window.
Yeah.
So it wasn't their standard at some point. By the way, when they played some checkbook baseball and actually signed free agents, and via great trades throughout his entire time here, and his trade history is the calling card. Mm-hmm. It is in a savior, in a sense, because of the draft and the development. But they were able to mask those deficiencies with resources. When the resources dried up, you can't mask them as well. Thank God for the Soto dealer. You're the Rockies, basically. But nobody in his time as an executive has had a better trade history than Mike Rizzo. And that coupled with some really, I think, successful free agency decisions, including one of the great free agency signings ever in Max Scherzer. Mm-hmm. It's funny. His ledger may go down as a World Series champion. And on his business card, it might say best free agent signing in history with Scherzer and the best trade return ever on the Soto deal. Not too shabby.
Not bad, right?
That doesn't speak to everything else where there were shortcomings, obviously. But I promise you, to the caller's point, if you are handcuffed, if you don't have the technology that you need to develop players, see the Post story this week about the hitting machine they don't have that some teams have had since 2018. Andrew Friedman ain't going to be drafting as well as he does with the Dodgers playing checkbook baseball with unlimited funds either. Now, doesn't mean it's an excuse, and if that's what they said to him, hey, too many years where the draft and the development hasn't been good enough, I think it's really hard to argue that. And that is a reasonable enough decision to make. I would ask why they wouldn't have made it this offseason and why they waited until now on the precipice of a draft that you could say, well, it's good, he's not going to be in the room, which is a straw man, unfunny zing anyway. But okay, if that's, you want to get a couple retweets and say that, that's fine. But to that, I would say the work is done. He just led the 11 months. He went and saw the players. He put the draft board together with Mike DiBartolo. That's all already been done. So if the zing is, let's not have Mike Rizzo in charge of another draft because of the draft history, even though I'd say they've done pretty damn good at number one overall, but that's fine. Then you should have done it this offseason, and you would have had months with somebody else running this whole thing to prepare for the draft this week.
All right. A few more Nats calls. What do you think of the firings yesterday? Mike Rizzo gone. Davey Martinez gone. DeBartolo's going to take over as the interim GM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
He had been on the staff working for Mike Rizzo for a while now. Apparently more data-driven, Mike DeBartolo is. Smart, thoughtful, the learner said in their statement. We're fortunate to have him as part of our organization. Remember, the Nats have the number one overall pick in the MLB draft a week from now. So the timing doesn't seem great, but they moved on from Mike Rizzo now anyway, and the manager replacement, at least an interim manager replacement, will be named sometime today. The Nats not back in action until tomorrow night in St. Louis. So, what did you think of the firings? Are you okay with it? Are you disgusted by it? And who do you blame for all of this? It's been a rough 6 years since, you know, the eight-year run of five playoff seasons of, you know, for during that eight-year run, all eight seasons above 500, even in the 3 years they didn't get to the postseason. They were 86 and 76, 83 and 79, 82 and 80. I mean, attendance, you know, over 2.5 million for almost all of those years, and culminating in that incredible, memorable October of 2019. But since then, one of the worst teams in baseball with, by the way, you know, an attendance mark that just looks paltry compared to what it was when they were competing for play in October. So who do you blame for all of this? What's your reaction to it? 301-230-0980. We had Mark Zuckerman on the show last hour. He was excellent. And Chelsea Janes will join us at 11:30. I am going to get to some of the other things that happened over the weekend, including the Wizards trade for Cam Whitmore. I can't believe how many of you believe that that trade is going to put Washington into the postseason next year. But we will talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Ben will join us at noon. Let's go to Ian. Ian, go ahead.
Kevin, we endured 25 years of Dan Snyder, so we all understand that when you have bad ownership or irrelevant ownership or criminally negligent ownership, no one can succeed. We've seen that. So the blame starts with the learners. I don't care what
criminally negligent is hyperbole at your best. You know, well, so Kevin, but the Kevin, other the other descriptions are not, you know, inaccurate. Go ahead.
So let me flush that last statement out. They were the only team without a stadium rights naming deal and a logo deal. They have one of the higher cost of attendance figures in the majors. They have one of the worst payrolls since 2020. And this notion that the pandemic hurt them, yes, of course, real estate development in the DMV was hurt by the pandemic, but they are still one of the richest ownership groups. And they're not the only ownership groups that have real estate involvement in the MLB. I think the way they treated this franchise is criminally negligent. The greed of them is awful. With that all being said, Rizzo is bad and Davey is bad. There is a whole lot of losing on their resume to just blame the learners. And this notion of Rizzo saying, oh, I had to deal with this ownership group, it's what I say about Mike Shanahan, going back to your guy. Okay. You can't work for an ownership group knowing their shortcomings and deal with it, take their salary, and then when it goes south, say, oh, it's their ownership group's fault. He had plenty of opportunities to find different employment. If he thought the learners would go back.
He was sought after there for a brief period of time.
Then he should have left. You can't, Kevin, if you blame your boss at 980 for poor working conditions after you get fired, they would say, why didn't you leave earlier?
There are lots of reasons why you wouldn't leave earlier. There are lots of reasons why you would stay here. You know, one of the things I know about Mike, because we got to know him a little bit over the last several years, is he loved this area. Absolutely loved D.C. So there's a lot that goes into these decisions. It's all not just about your employer. It's about your quality of life. So there's a lot that goes into that.
You understand, Kevin, you understand this better than most. For him to make it seem like he was a hostage working for the learners is kind of
ridiculous.
That's
not exactly what the statement said. It could have been a lot more critical than, hold on, let me just pull up the quote here. Could have been a lot more of a shot taken than the sun will come up tomorrow. That's the job. I had a great run, navigated that ownership group for almost 20 years. That's closer to a subtle shot than a direct shot. It's indirect more than direct.
Okay, we can.
I don't know. It's close.
The nuances of that. Yeah, we can debate what? The nuances of that. But the point being that, again, I think they're all bad. The blame pie is obviously ownership one, Rizzo two, Martinez three, and they're all bad. I just hope that this ownership group sells, because I don't see any way that they all of a sudden start trying at an MLB level that's commensurate with our media market size, our potential fan base size. And I, of course, would rather take Leonsis than the learners, but I don't want him either. Like,
me neither.
Does this town not have,
I don't want him owning three teams in this. Yeah.
Yeah. God, like, this is one of the richest areas in the country. What, third most high per capita? Isn't there a billionaire in Potomac that can, like, buy this team? My goodness. Like, you should do a segment in August when it's dead of, did we have the worst ownership run of any major city ever?
It's certainly, I mean, you know, it's got to be up there. It's got to be up there. The saving grace is that the Caps were, and for the most part, they have been, a postseason team every year. And regardless of you saying, you know, that Rizzo's horrible, he hasn't always been horrible. They had an incredible eight-year run. They won more games during an eight-year run, 12-12, 2012 to 2019, than any team in baseball not named the LA Dodgers. They went to the postseason five times, didn't have a losing record, and won the World Series. So, and by the way, I would also mention during that stretch, Ian, and I think even you will appreciate this, they created memories that this town didn't have of this sport. I mean, the meltdown in the 9-7 game five loss in the first year of 2012 to St. Louis, the losses at home, the pain, but the memory, the indelible memories that were built up during that stretch that culminated with a satisfying beyond description World Series win. I give Mike a lot of credit for that during that period. I do. Let me move on. Aveen, go ahead.
Hi, Kevin. I'm indifferent to what the firings mean for the future of the Nationals. As you've talked about, learners have developed a reputation of being cheap and difficult to work with. And if you just look at like a Commander's equivalent, having the reputation of being cheap and difficult to work with means you're not going to be able to attract, you know, an Adam Peters, Brandon Sosna, Lance Newmark, Dave Gardy. You're just not going to be able to attract that talent to the front office. And it wasn't just being cheap with the payroll. It was being cheap with the front office. I think there was a story a couple of years ago that they cut a bunch of scouts and they really never made up for it.
Yeah.
And then they were also the last team to purchase Hawkeye pitch tracking technology, which is something that like every team uses a lot. So it's things like that, the investment in the front office. So I just wonder, and I just think like, how much of it was Davey and Rizzo being hamstrung? Because, you know, when they were investing a lot in 2010, they were the winningest team. And last time Martinez got significant investment and they had a bigger payroll, he won a World Series. So I'm never gonna know how much blame to assign them. I think they were in a bit of an unfair situation. And just with regards to future ownership, you know, your interview with Ted Leonsis kind of swayed me that it might not be so bad with Ted. I mean, he made it a point to point out that he knows that investing a lot of money in the team means a lot, and that you need to be investing somewhere near top 10 in payroll. So that kind of sold me that he realizes baseball is a sport where you got to spend money. So if somebody like Leonsis came, I would be excited and on board. And I think if the learners are here, it's not that attractive of a destination, but if they leave, it is a really attractive destination because of the market and the young talent they have.
Thanks for the call, Aveen. I have mixed feelings on Ted owning three out of the four professional sports teams when, you know, of the two he has now, one's been a disaster basically during his entire tenure. Not that it wasn't prior to him taking over the Wizards. And the Caps have been a successful franchise and they did win a cup. But it was courtesy of, you know, being there in the right draft at the top of that draft to draft Alex Ovechkin. And there's a lot of people that would say they fell short far too often than, you know, that they didn't get enough out of it. Even Ted, in my conversation with him, said, you know, without that 2019 and maybe without, you know, winning a playoff series, which they did this year, which was good for them, you know, there's still going to be some criticism that they didn't get enough out of the Alex Ovechkin era. I don't think, you know, Stan Kroenke owns, I think he doesn't own three in any market. I think in Denver, if you include the soccer team, he owns three. But I don't know if that's the best situation for a sports market to have one owner you know, essentially be picking between three franchises, you got to be really well funded. David Rubenstein, Ted Leonsis combination would have been very interesting to me. Very interesting. But Rubenstein now owns the Orioles. Let's go to JYD. JYD, go ahead.
How you doing, Kevin?
What's up?
The main thing is that I blame, yes, the owners or whatever, and I think the situation came like it is now yesterday is because I don't think they were looking for another Jim Riegelman-type situation where, you Maybe. Know, there was chaos.
Yeah,
or
by
whatever.
Not picking up their options,
they
yes.
went on to pull the string.
Yeah.
Now, but as far as you also have to blame the players because time and time again, I sat here looking at my big screen TV, and I saw how badly this team ran the bases. Time and time again, these young guys, they do not seem to get it. They don't seem to put is either that or they're not get. They don't put enough time into it, or maybe it was the coaching. But somehow there was a disconnect because for a couple of years since they brought up these young guys, they gave away games after games because they didn't pick up the signals, the signs, the whatever, when to steal, when not to steal, or whatever. And they gave up runs. And so that, I have to blame the players. And all this stuff about, you know, when you talk about you love your coaches and you love your manager and all this or whatever, look out, because if you really loved your manager, if you really loved your coaches or whatever, then you would put forth a better effort.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Kevin.
Really appreciate it, JYD. Let's go to Lou in D.C. Lou, go ahead.
Kevin, man, what's going on, man? How you
hey,
doing?
Hey, Lou, what's happening?
Not much, man. You know, I'm like JYD. I'm blaming the ownership, man. Just the simple fact that they keep having these players, you know, we like the Juan Soto, the Bryce Harper, you know, these guys. You have them, you have the opportunity to sign them, but you let the other teams, you know, grab them and sign them, and you let them get away. And I can't blame Davey. He's working with what he got. Mike Rizzo, he's been phenomenal since he's been here. He know how to sign players and draft players and things like that, develop all these players. So, you know, the learners being cheap, you know, they remind me of the, you know, the hockey. I mean, I said a lot about the hockey team, but, you know, Ted Leonsis, he owned the basketball and the hockey team. So he's just another a mediocre owners, man. They just don't know how to run their business, man. It's just, it's sad. I mean, the Commander should be the blueprint right now for this town, how to run their business and your team.
Yeah, they are.
I just don't get it. Like, I don't know how you could just, you know, Ted Leonsis, like I keep saying, he just loves being in the playoff. He doesn't care about winning the Stanley Cup. He like collecting those checks in the first, second round, and that's it.
Well,
the
checks would be higher if they kept advancing. I don't think that's it. I think there was a period of time with the basketball team that just getting to the postseason, you know, with barely above a 500 record meant a better chance at sort of profitability or certainly increasing the profitability situation, because the NBA is completely different, as you know, Lou, than the NHL. The NHL, getting into the postseason every year, you got a shot. Everybody's got a shot, you know, once you get in. The NBA thing, I think they stuck too long with let's try to get a playoff series and maybe even win one without really ever having a chance to go deep into the postseason or win a title. That's the biggest issue. The Wizards ownership situation for Ted is completely different than the NHL ownership situation. It's interesting, right? Because I think over the years, Wizards fans think Ted's a terrible owner, and for a period of time, Caps fans were okay with Ted as an owner. I'm not so sure in recent years. But anyway, thanks for the call, Lou. Everybody on hold, stay. We'll take one more segment of some calls, then Chelsea Janes will join us.
All right, we are live on a Monday, July 7th, 2025, the end of the Mike Rizzo era. Craig Hoffman with Anthony Haney, who is back from vacation. We were going to have a light, fun show today. Just talking, getting all kinds of stories out of Haney. Fresh off Antoine in Paris, Antonio in Barcelona. And boy, did the reality of being Anthony hit real quick, Sir Haney.
It did indeed, man. We had breaking news literally yesterday evening.
You didn't even make it to work today.
I know.
You didn't even make it to Monday. You just, all of a sudden, I'm sending you a text. Yo, Rizzo, Davey, out. Yeah. We got to start booking guests for tomorrow now, bro.
Yeah. I couldn't even enjoy my last day off, man, but it's okay.
Sometimes it'd be like that. Sometimes it'd be like that. Wizards made the Cam Whitmore trade. Not going to get to that today. It's the middle of July. Thanks, Nationals, for giving us something to talk about, but this isn't what we had in mind. Here's where I'm at when it comes to the decision to fire Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez. There is a lot of factors at play to the decision in a small, like in a vacuum. And they all make sense to make this move. There is a larger, like, where do they go from here that gets real dicey real quickly. But if we're going to, on some level, look at this decision in a vacuum, we know for a fact that Davey Martinez had an option that, you know, was a couple million dollars to coach next year that had to be picked up by July 15th. And very clearly, they did not want to do that. And Grant, I was listening to G&D on the way in. Grant said he was told there was no ultimatum. It wasn't like Davey was like, or they told Rizzo, you got to fire Davey, and he refused, and then they both got sent. There was none of that, which is something that I thought of initially. But we at the very least know there was a deadline, and deadlines tend to spur action. And if he is not going to be the guy moving forward, what's the point of having him as a lame duck head coach? And then the question becomes, Mike Rizzo on the exact same timeline? And if he is, as some have reported, but a lot, like it still seems to be a little bit of confusion there. I know Grant hasn't confirmed it. They had Jeff Passan on, who was awesome on their show, and we'll play a couple bites of Passan later on in our show from G&D. We have our own great guests as well. Clinton Yates, Chelsea Janes, Robert Flores, MLB Network, going to join us before the end of the hour. Chelsea at 5, Clinton at 6. So we had tons of coverage on both of our stations today. But Passan said he didn't have it confirmed that Rizzo was on the same timeline, but the draft is next week. And if he's not going to be your guy moving forward, even if the option's at the end of the year, do you want to give him a number one pick in the draft? And this gets into kind of how Rizzo ran things from people like from listening, reading, you know, a lot of great coverage in the post. We've had, you know, people on our stations all day. So, while I think you guys that are regular listeners know, I'm not nearly as plugged in on the Nats as I am on the Commanders or the Wizards. I certainly pay attention, and I have taken in a lot of information today. And Rizzo is a very old school, or was a very old school general manager. And the buck stopped with him. And that was something that often was good. He made a ton of great decisions, including many that led to the 2019 World Series. He also has been in charge of some of the misses where certain guys have not panned out. And so if there was a ton of work put into this draft next week where the number one overall pick is going, is the Nationals, and there was fear that maybe a lot of the scouts, the analytics folks, the whoever, wanted to go one direction and Rizzo was going to go the other, while all the work has been done and Rizzo has been in charge of the people doing the work, the outcome could be very different. And I think that that is a reality that we should acknowledge. We should say, like, hey, while it feels crazy, and it's like, well, how different is it going to be? All the work's already been done. If you have someone that is a final decision maker that tends to go against the grain or has the power to go against the grain, and, you know, in this case, the grain is all going one way, then that could be a reason to do this now. Nevertheless, the contractual stuff and kind of the logistics and the logic of, if this isn't our GM moving forward, why would we let him make the pick and then move on? Now, of course, Mike DiBartolo, the assistant general manager who is now the deputy, who is now the interim general manager, we don't know that he's going to be either, but that this is a decision you're going to have to live with. You're going to have to live with the work of your scouts, with DiBartolo playing the role of sifting through the information and, you know, maybe even taking kind of a vote amongst the group, however that is going to go. So on that level, the timing actually makes some level of sense. You're trying to give these guys the season. You know, just when things were getting really bad, they got really good. They had that really nice run where they got within two or three games of 500. And then they obviously went on the 11-game losing streak, in the middle of which Davey stuck his foot in his mouth. And things have been pretty terrible since. And so as they're not getting better, you get closer to the deadline, the trade deadline, the contract deadline, and the deadline of the draft, you make the move. I actually have no problem with that. However, where the team goes from here is, I would say this, it feels very limited in the ways that the Washington football team was limited under Daniel Snyder. And I realize that is a heavy statement, and so I want to be extraordinarily clear about a couple of things up front. Mark Lerner and the Lerner family are not the Snyders and Dan Snyder. I have no reason to believe there is any off-field misconduct, whether that be toxic workplace, whether that be harassing employees, whether that be being a bad business partner, whether in terms of like not paying bills, whether it is committing tax fraud, which I believe Dan Snyder is still under federal investigation for. None of that stuff. But there was a reality from a football, from a sporting standpoint, that with Dan Snyder in charge, you were never going to be that good, because ownership matters in sports. Your ability, your willingness to pay the best people, your ability to find them in the first place, sort through all of the candidates and be like, this is the actual best one. The ability to convince that person, who is obviously smart and coveted because they're the best one, that they should work for you. That was always the limiting factor as much as anything else with Snyder. Could they have potentially gotten lucky and hit on some draft picks because they were really bad and they were then bad in the right draft? And had they drafted a Peyton Manning type, could they have had some good years? Yes, but they never would have been as good as they could have been. And they consistently ruined all the good things that they had, because that's what bad ownership does versus maximizing everything you've got, which is what Josh Harris has done in year one, and set up the organization as best they can. And that is investments on, so it starts off with the people, right? And then you get into the investments on infrastructure. How's your medical staff? How are your facilities? Are you giving the, how's your analytics group? How is your research group? Like all of these people that you need to hire to compete in the modern version of sports, you were never getting that in Ashburn. Never. They were so far. I remember they were so proud of themselves when they got basic stuff in their training room, like cold plunges. And this is like in 2018. And it's like some teams have had this stuff for a decade. And there's a report in the Post last week. There's some technology that most baseball teams have been using for at least 5 years. And Rizzo is like, hey, we're getting it. And it's like, we're 5 years late, at least. Nevertheless, on the cutting edge. And that's where the next hire obviously is critically important. And maybe the Mark Lerner has learned his lesson. Maybe he's seen the lack of investment, just how bad it is. And he's going to hire someone and say, what do you need? Check. We're super rich. We haven't spent money. And now it's time to go and checkbooks open. And if he does that, then if I was Mike Rizzo, I'd probably be pretty ticked off. But that's the right thing. That's not Mark Lerner's problem. He's got to do it. And the Lerner family, as ownership, has to do it, because that's what it takes to win, if that's what they want to do. And if you don't, well, that's a different conversation. But finding someone who doesn't necessarily need you to open up the pocketbook to win the Juan Soto bidding, like that's a different level. But to at the very least make the investments that you need to compete in Major League Baseball, and then hopefully you're getting the most out of your guys. You're drafting really well. You're super smart. You make some smart acquisitions. Maybe you can't re-sign a Mackenzie Gore, another Scott Boras client who is now at the same service time that Juan Soto was when he was traded. But if you make another blockbuster, if it's this year, this offseason, or next year, you could
you could get a ton in return. You could, off the backs of Juan Soto and Mackenzie Gore, you could build a pretty freaking good baseball team. And then you have to manage the roster moving forward. And so the limitations on the Nationals are very simple. It's whatever Mark Lerner decides for them to be. And if he is truly committed to doing the things that other owners of winning franchises do, and it, again, you don't have to spend oodles and oodles of money. There's other ways to do it. Look at the Rays. And you were willing to do what it takes to build a culture, to build a winner, then this will go down as oddly timed, bizarre, surprising in a lot of ways, but ultimately the unquestioned right move. Because I think with some of those investments, someone with a newer, fresher eye, it was probably time. And that's not to take away, and in some ways this feels dirty to Rizzo, because we should have just been like, this whole first segment could have been a thank you, Mike, for incredible service, a World Series championship, and for, frankly, as he put in a text to Barry Svrluga, navigating that ownership group for 20 years. He did an exceptional job. But I think eventually it does become a time. And so two things can be true at once. It cannot be totally Mike Rizzo's fault, or even mostly Mike Rizzo's fault, that the Nationals are in their current situation. It can also be right to move on. And what comes next is critical if this baseball team wants to be relevant more than a headline every 5 years firing their manager and everyone scratching their head going, what happened to that team that was dominant for stretches of the 2010s and ultimately closed off that decade with a World Series?
One of the issues I have right now, one of the problems today, 24 hours after firing Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez, that I've got is there's no press conference happening with ownership, and there's not going to be.
Right.
Mark Lerner's not going to take questions. Nobody's going to sit there and say, this is why we fired Mike Rizzo. This is what our plan is for the next executive. We want to get more data-driven. We want to do these three things that we weren't doing before. There is a lack of transparency. There has been for a while at the ownership level, but at least Rizzo has been there to take the bullets and answer the questions. He goes on the radio here on the station every single Wednesday and answers questions. He's around the ballpark, and if you, you know, find him, talk to him, whatever, you can run things by him. That's gone now. And for the remainder of the season, respectfully to Mike DiBartolo, who is a interim general manager, that's not really what you're looking for. And I don't even know if they're going to have some major press conference with him. They're certainly not before the draft, because he's too busy. I mean, he's got 6 days to prepare for something that, as of yesterday, he wasn't preparing for in the same capacity. The trade deadline's right after that. So do I think he's going to be eventually talking to the media after the draft? Yeah, when they're asking him about Ethan Holliday going 1-1 or Cade Anderson being the pick out of LSU. But when you fire a team president, especially one that's won a championship and been around as long as Mike Rizzo was, I think you got to answer some questions about it. And when you fire a team president, general manager, and a head coach, in this case, manager in baseball together, I think you got to step up to the mic. And it's not very often that you need to. I don't even know who it would be. I guess it would have to be Mark Lerner. And I'm not completely sure of, you know, what kind of
not to be insensitive about it.
Health he's in exactly.
Can he do that? I don't know.
I don't either. I'm not trying to be insensitive at all. I hope it's not coming off that way. I don't know what kind of health he's in, but that's also a problem. I mean, if they can't do it, not because they don't want to, which I think is probably what it is, but also because there's no one to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that also is, I mean, to me, that's a siren sounding from miles away that tells you everything you need to know. If there's no one that can hold that press conference to say why they did this and what they think, that's a big, big problem.
Yeah, it tells you the story.
If it's Alan Gottlieb who runs the show, or if it's, it doesn't matter who it is. I can fire off names nobody's heard of. But someone should be sitting at a podium somewhere at Nats Park in the next 24 to 48 hours explaining the decision. And that the fact that's not happening is a problem to me.
And we all know it's not happening, too.
I didn't do it as a joke, but I asked somebody with the team, just because I like to be able to say, hey, we reached out. Like, I don't want to say, when someone says, why don't you get Mark Lerner on? And I go, well, Mark Lerner's not going to come on the show. I need to have asked to make sure.
Right.
Let's make sure we request that so we could say that we did. And I just did my due diligence and said, hey, is there going to be some press conference where we can ask some questions? And the answer pretty quickly was, that's not expected. I knew that before I asked the text. You sent the text.
Yeah, it's, and again, it tells you a huge part of the story. And I understand what happened to that family dynamic where the patriarch passed away, and it's, you know, everybody's got different shares of control and there's different silos, and, you know, this committee of sons, daughters, son-in-laws, daughters-in-laws, Mark Lerner himself, has led to organizational kind of chaos, to put it mildly, you know, and it's not all malicious. It's not all bad. It's not all, you know, ill intent where people are backstabbing like episodes of Succession, but it's close to a real life version of that in that sense. And that's kind of your point, is kind of the evidence here that you would need. This is a major decision, whether it was right or wrong. And I think a great points can be made in either direction, talking about moving on from Rizzo and Davey in one fell swoop. That is not a crazy thing to do when the team hasn't been good in 6 years, right? That's not nuts that might happen. But the simple fact is, if this was a normal course of events where team underachieves, key decision makers lose job, you would see the owner or the president or whomever out front to answer those questions. Here's why. Here's the criteria. Here's what we needed. We thank them for their service. Yes, yes, yes. But here's what we want to do. That's not going to happen. And that's kind of a nice little window into sort of the greater, I don't know, kind of like the nuts things that are going on inside this house. We got a little window into it right now where these two out front guys are gone and there's nobody to tell you why.
Let's go to Lewis, who's in Gainesville, and Grant and Danny wants to hop in. Mike Rizzo, Davey Martinez fired by the Nats yesterday. Miguel Cairo named today the interim manager to go with interim GM Mike DiBartolo. What's up, Lewis? How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on here. One thing that, you know, you guys are touching on it right now, so it's perfect, is what do the Lerners want from this? Do they want to have a winning ball club again, or did, you know, they got their World Series? And, you know, and I say the Lerners, but ownership in general, are they happy with, you know, a World Series championship a couple of years ago? And they're like, well, you know, the money keeps coming in. People keep going to the game. Do we need to invest any more of our own money than we actually have to? And if that's the case,
It's such a good question, and it's a good call. Did you hear Jeff Passan on the show earlier today by chance?
I did not, no.
Yeah, so I'll play a clip for you here that's relevant to this in a second. Passan of ESPN, who broke this story yesterday, who's the top reporter covering baseball. He's kind of the Schefter of Major League Baseball, who was on with us earlier today. But to that point, you know, when he asks first let's play the Passan clip, and then I want to get into this. But this was Passan earlier today on Grant and Danny.
Most of all, like, do you want to win? I think that's a reasonable question for somebody to ask him at this point, because what have the Nationals, in terms of their budget and their payroll, shown fans over the last 5 years, other than, I'm not going to say a disinclination to go out and win, but sorry, when you're a team in Washington, D.C., and your highest paid player is retired, and your second highest paid player is a Toronto Blue Jay, what are you trying to do here?
That's just a funny thing. What are you trying to do here is so funny. I don't know, Jeff. Well, I can't answer that.
Well, those are the questions reserved for the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Nutting family and the Marlins and the Royals to a degree.
Well,
right?
Here's what's so painful about that, Danny. There is nothing worse than being a fan of a team like that,
mm-hmm,
with absentee owners that don't care, who have completely checked out. And we're way closer to that in D.C. as baseball fans right now than anybody's comfortable admitting.
Yeah, I forgot. I can't remember the exact number of the stat, but it's like Paul Skeens has a 1.72 ERA over his last 11 starts, and he hasn't won a single game. Something to that effect, right? It's to that degree where it's the organization's such a joke, they've got the makings of one of the great staffs in baseball, and, you know, so what? Who cares? We're going to lose our 100 games. But that's not the company you should be in, obviously. And they won the World Series with the 13th highest cash payroll. So it doesn't mean you have to be one or two or even five or six. Just as long as you're in a competitive place and you get a couple of breaks, you got a chance to do something pretty special. And they were consistently there for a while. We all know what happened. The course of history altered, and they haven't been close to that ever since. Their actual payrolls are masked by, or they look more inflated because they're paying guys that don't play for them anymore, to Passan's point, whether it's retirees, guys on other teams, deferments, and the like. They are not competitive and have no designs of being that way. So you can fire as many general managers as you want. If you give the next guy these sets of tools to work with, don't expect a masterpiece.
So to the caller's point where he said, basically, do they want to win? Like, what is their end game? He referenced this idea that, well, they're still making a bunch of money because people are still coming to the games. And they're making money because they're owners of a sports team and you print cash. Obviously, you're in the green. But this is not going well. People don't go to the games. They are poorly attended. It is a bad attendance. You know, when you look at 30 teams in Major League Baseball, when you look at the fact they announced 11,000 for one of their games against the Rockies on their last homestand, it doesn't have to be this way. You could spend something and make something. It takes spending money to make money. And think about running a restaurant, going and getting new booths and new chairs and spending money on cooking utensils and whatever else you need to do a better job. They've stopped A. B is also down. Now, your point is, well, that they haven't had to close the restaurant yet. I guess not yet, but I've been in the restaurant a bunch lately. It's not like it used to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, the atmosphere there is bad. And the fan base is disinterested. This week is great because people are going to call and want to talk to us. 2 weeks ago, we couldn't just break down the Nats for hours on end. Nobody cared. A month ago, when they were just winning baseball games at a 500 level, nobody cared at all. Opening day was a knockdown, drag-out fight to try to sell out. And I'm not suggesting that they're going to be the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Cardinals or something because the history is not here. So there's going to be 4 hours before a playoff game, seats available before a wild card game. Like, I get where we are and what this is. But at the same time, it has gotten bad. And whereas the caller is saying, I think it's working well enough for them financially to just not do anything, I disagree. They can't be happy at the ballpark numbers and seeing what they're raking in via gates. There's no way it's successful right now. Charlie's in Annapolis. What's up?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
I don't know about you, but I do not have, like, the Commander situation. I don't have 30 years for the Nationals to win another World Series. And if I'm a prospective GM or even manager coming in, interviewing for these positions, I'm going to want to know, you know, what type of backing am I going to get as far as support for the resources that I need to succeed? And I just think I don't trust Lerner just simply for the fact that he doesn't want to spend money on his team. So why would he want to spend money on resources specifically if the attendance is declining? And my whole thing is like, I just don't see them, or at least I see them getting some sort of bottom feeder to fill this GM and even managerial position. Well, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you basically are saying to a candidate, if you've got choices, you won't pick us unless something dramatically shifts, right? You could, there'll be plenty of guys that don't have other offers, that don't have other choices, that aren't as sought after. You can find someone to manage your baseball team. You can find someone to be a general manager. I mean, this is, like, Houston Texans every year would find somebody that was in no danger of being hired by anybody else. Until it seems like now they found somebody pretty special. But they're just combing through, you know, are you in charge of linebackers? Or do you label the film for somebody? You could be our head coach for a year, make a little bit of money, and get fired. You could find someone to do it. But if you've got choices, to the caller's point, this would not be your first choice unless you get substantive change and a guarantee that those things would happen. And do you trust that to be the case? I don't know that I do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.